Good morning, church. That's nice and loud, so you can't fall asleep in that, can you? Even keep me awake. I just wanted to start because we've sung some amazing songs, and I just think we need to thank the worship guys in leading us in that worship. Come on, give them a round of applause. And it's not because of their skills, it's because things that God touches people with to draw us into worship. And he does that each week, and it's just incredible when we open ourselves to what God's saying and doing. And there's some songs that, well, most of those songs actually really had something to say to us this morning. But there's a couple that really hit me. I'm loved by you, by God. It's who I am. Is that who you are? That God, you allow God to love you. We've got to this place in life, I don't know about you, but are really good at not allowing things to happen. Why? Because stuff has happened. And because we've allowed things to happen to us, we've done things we really didn't want to do. But hey, God says that he loves us. And he's telling us it's who we are to receive it. He's telling us that we are the people to receive it. Now that's quite a challenge, because some of us aren't too cool at receiving things. When somebody gives us a gift or a present that we're not expecting, how easy do we find to receive it? That's a telltale sign. Because God is saying, I want you to learn to receive the fullness of my love. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Has that ever affected you? Yeah, only not even occasionally. Yes, it has. But I'm no longer a slave to fear. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Are you a child of God? That's four of us. No, it's something we've got to sink in, isn't it? It's truth. It's truth. I'm no longer a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. Now, I'm going to do... God gave me this morning... He's a bit of a nuisance, don't you find, God, sometimes? Because I've spent a long time preparing, and then he just throws stuff in. I mean, how inconsiderate is that? You know, I've got it sorted. I've printed it all last night. The printing cartridge packed up halfway through. I've done all this preparation. And then he says, oh, by the way, I just want you to add this in, Dave. Okay, so here we go. I want you to actually think about the most intimate relationship that you can imagine. And that might be somebody that you can remember that you've actually had that hug that really meant something special to you. And it might be a hug, it might be a handshake, it might be that smile that somebody's given to you and it actually sticks in there. Something special. Okay? Now what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes and I just want you to imagine that you can relate to some actual physical example. And God wants to say to you, I love you more than that. But close your eyes, and I just want you to think about that. I love you more than that. Just imagine God's arms around you. And he's saying, I love you more than any physical thing that you can remember. Because actually that was overwhelming. Can you feel that tingle, that excitement, that love when you needed it? And actually, God's saying to you, he loves us way beyond that. Way beyond that. He loves you to the inner being. To your inner being, to your soul. That's a good old religious phrase. To your soul. Now you need to grab hold of that. Because when I'm talking about God who actually loves us that much. Glasses back on so we can read some of this stuff. Do you do it with big print? Because I worked out sometimes you don't use your glasses and I'm trying to work out how you've done that. 24. Okay. We've been working through Ephesians for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Chapter 1. And the title is 3 Steps to Heaven. Now I had a really deep in-depth thought that hit me the other day. Okay? Look at the picture. The thought that struck me was there's more than 3 steps there. Now, I don't know whether it ever struck you guys, but that was really deep to me. There's more than 3 steps there. The picture hasn't got it right. There's loads of flipping steps. So that brought me on to a really another deep question. If there's only 3 steps, are those steps going to be a problem? Okay? A friend of mine, we were relaying, it was the royal we. I said, Dave, can you do it? And he did it. And he actually relayed the patio outside for us. And we said to him, when you're doing it, can you please make the steps actually a reasonable size? Why? Because we've got grandchildren and it's going to be a serious issue if they are the same size as they are at the moment. They will naturally fall down them and the steps are just too big. So we actually changed all the steps so they're actually manageable for little people now and for some bigger people as well that find it difficult. So I was then thinking about these 3 steps. And I'm thinking, are these steps going to be huge? Are they going to be so big that we can't handle it? But then it struck me. This is the cool bit. Or does it mean the 3 steps to heaven are actually smaller and heaven's closer that we've ever imagined? There isn't all those steps. There's 3 steps. And actually that means heaven's much closer than we ever thought. Who had this picture when they were young of heaven being a cloud and fluffy place and God was sitting on a cloud? Well, actually, he's much nearer than we anticipate. But we do have some wrong pictures. That, I'll try another one. Okay, I have switched another. Katie. If that should be up, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Was that you, Katie, or was that me? Right. It might be a shouting then job. Okay. Now, I looked at these three steps, and actually for some people, that's how they see the steps. They see the steps as walking to nowhere, and actually you're hitting a brick wall. But that's not the three steps that God's talking about, and he's not talking about a getting near to heaven. It's not like that at all. Oh, that's definitely not good. Let's try again. Katie, you're going to have to help me. Can you move on? Thanks. Okay, I forget that. Then I thought about some of these steps, and I thought, these steps look a bit rough. And yes, they will get us to where we want to go, but the question came into my mind, is God going to come down those steps? The creator of the universe going to come down those steps? They're made out of packing strips, aren't they? Well, I had a question about that, and that began to make me think a bit. Katie? Then I saw these. Now, these look a bit more pucker, don't they? So if we start thinking about the steps, these three steps to heaven, that they're actually the three steps that we take in our lives to be in the throne room with God. They're the three steps we take to be in the throne room. And the throne room can, in our eyes, be an unbelievably frightening place. Because if you think about a king, when a king is on the throne, you have to have permission to come in. It's quite a frightening place to be. But actually, the picture, and this is a better picture, because it's three steps into the living room. And it's the three steps into God's living room. Now that's pretty staggering, because what we're then saying is that as we take steps in our lives, we can go into God's living room. Now that's a different picture, because when we go into God's living room, there's a nice sofa and there's God sitting in an easy chair. There's some comfortable chairs for us to sit on. It's not a place of fear. It's a place that actually feels like home because it is home. And it is home because we are children of God. And it is home because we can then be in God's living room and we can go up to him, we can hold his hand, we can sit on his knee, and we can tell him about stuff. We can tell him about the good things, the bad things, whatever. And God will bring his encouragement, his peace, his healing, his grace, his wisdom. He will bring blessing upon us because we're at his place. We're at his place. And this is now. This is now. We have this chance to be in God's living room now. This isn't something that's going to happen when we die, because we already need to experience it. Why? Because we are children of God. We are family. And it also has this changing picture. If it's only three steps up for us, it's only three steps down for God. That's how close he is. That's how close he is. So that he can come and spend time with us. Because he wants to. Why? Because he wants to spend time with his children. How is this possible? How is this possible? It's possible because of Jesus. Because God took his own son, his one and only son, so that he could show us the way. He, Jesus, paid the price for our mess ups. Technical word, sin. But actually mess ups, I think, is good. Because they're mess ups of things we do in good intention. There are mess ups that we make in bad intentions. Whether they're good things, bad things, indifferent things. Jesus has done it all. There's nothing he's forgotten. That's one and for all. And the strap line, you like that trendy phrase, that was on the front screen is from Bill Johnson. Getting us to heaven is not near as great a challenge as it is getting heaven into us. Now, getting heaven in is easier if we understand how close it is, how close God is, that we can walk into his living room and we are welcome. How many have a seat at home that they normally sit on in the lounge? I have my seat, yeah. Now, the funny thing is, when you go to God's, it's a big lounge. Because there's your seat already there for you. Why? Because you're family. You're family. Katie, can we move on one? There's family. And it's possible because Jesus made the difference. God's Son. He knows about children. His Son. His one and only Son. So that we, you, me, all of us, could be children of God. So that God would be our Father. Our Father beyond any imagination that we have. The Father that's the ultimate Father. The Father that knows how to love. The Father who knows how to scrape off our knees when we fall over. The Father who actually understands us. The Father we have no secrets from. Andy shared in the first week, and some of the verses in this section are from what Andy shared. And this is one verse. This is Ephesians 1, verse 5. God decided in advance. That means he thought about it beforehand. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. He signed the papers for you. He signed the papers for me before I was even thought of. Wow, that's planning. Talk about logistics. He's got it sorted. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus made the difference. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him, God, great pleasure. Hang on. We give God great pleasure. Yeah, but no, it says it gave God great pleasure that he had signed us up to be in his family. We are adopted. Why? Because he wants us as his children. As his children. Katie. Because we are children of God, God is our Father. Whatever we're like, shape, size, hair colour, no hair, just wanted to include everybody, Kev. Colour of skin, clever or not, I just want to include myself there, you see. Whatever we're like, he included everybody. Why? Because God is Father. When we mess things up, when we actually get them right, there is those times, you know, we actually get it right. When we show love, when we don't actually show any love. Why? Because we are children of God. Just say to each other, you are a child of God. Next slide, please, Katie. Ephesians. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us. God has poured out his glorious grace on us who belong to his dear Son. God has poured out his grace on us because of Jesus. God sent his Son, Jesus. Jesus showed us how to live, how to love. He showed us the Father. He showed us what family is about. He made the difference. Next slide, please, Katie. I wanted to try and find a picture depicting Jesus on the cross that meant something, that you'd actually get a feeling for it. But I didn't want to show some of the realistic ones, because actually they're unbelievably graphic and kind of frightening. But I would say to you, if you never really grasp the pain and the endurance that he went through, just read those scriptures. Because let's be honest, Jesus went through some horrendous times. And why did he do that? He did that for you. He did it for me. Why? Because we are a child of God. Jesus was sent by God to set us free, to make a difference. Jesus went through all that pain for you. And he went all that pain through me. If there was nobody else, he would have still done it for me. That's the truth we need to get our head round. Jesus would have died on that cross for you, even if there was nobody else. Because that's what God was doing. Jesus went through all that pain because he loves me. He's paid for my mess ups, my mistakes, my guilt, my hatred, my life, so I can be free. So I can have a new life. Jesus has done that for us. Next slide, please, Katie. Ephesians again, 7 and 8. He, God, is so rich in kindness, these are all truths about God, and grace, that He purchased our freedom. We don't understand the fullness of what freedom means, because we actually have quite a lot of freedom in this country. But there are plenty of places that actually doing what we're doing would be quite dangerous. So we don't fully understand the freedom that Jesus brought to us. But He brought us a freedom in life through His blood, and He forgave us our sins. He forgives us for our mess-ups. He has showed His kindness. He showered His kindness on. He showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. I love a bit of that, because there's sometimes I don't understand and I haven't got wisdom. But He showers it on us. He showers it on us. Why? Because He gave His Son. Bob spoke about accessing God's kingdom and sharing it through God's forgiveness, as Jesus paid the price for our past, for your past, for all our pasts. He made the difference. Katie, please. Jesus went through all the pain because He loved me. He paid for my mess-ups, my mistakes, my guilt, my hatred, my life, so I could be free. So I could have a new life. I think we need to read that. Let's read it together. Jesus went through all that pain because He loves me. He paid for my mess-ups, my mistakes, my guilt, my hatred, my life, so I could be free, so I could have a new life. Allow Holy Spirit to minister that to us, that truth. He did it for us. Next slide, please, Katie. God has now revealed to us His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Remember, heaven is not a million miles away. It is close by, because God has given us access to heaven. God's plan, His kingdom plan, is to change culture, to bring our traditional culture into a place where it's God's kingdom culture. What's that look like? It's a culture of love. It's a culture of peace. It's a culture of release. It's a culture of revelation. It's a culture of repentance. It's a culture where things are different to the natural order of things around us. Just want you to think about this culture for yourself. Think about it, God's culture. Think about His love, His peace which changes us in situations. Notice the difference there. Didn't say He changes all the situations. I say He changes us. How does He change us? Because He's bestows, pours out, lavishes, any big word that you can think of, his peace upon us. He releases us from fear. He releases us from guilt. He releases us from embarrassment. He brings revelation. We've had some amazing revelations today. He brings revelation. Why? Because you are a child of God. I am a child of God. Has anybody seen any of these things happen? To you? To anybody else? We need to be expectant. He's about. Next one, Katie. Now on this slide, there's some unbelievably famous people on here. We've got Dave Webb. We've got Bill Douthwaite. We've got Richard and Jacqueline. I won't talk about, you know, it's an old photograph. It's okay. Then we've got Jane and Andy. And then there's some other folk. But oh, what amazing. I just went onto the internet and I googled Ridgely Community. And looked for pictures on Ridgely Community pictures. Images. All of these came up. That's staggering. Ranging from the first one, which is Richard preaching, if you can't see. And on the screen, this is on the tinternet. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a cracking bit to have on the screen. This is on the internet, and you have to only Google Ridgely Community. And there's loads of stuff from us, Ridgely Community Center and Church. I don't know who this bloke is down here. He seemed to be someone familiar, but I can't remember now. Things change so quickly, don't they? Yeah. But the thing that's staggering about this is the kingdom God has put us in. This is the kingdom God has put us in. And then we get, as Eric said, this chap come along and he says, we'd like to actually infiltrate and sort of bring together the community. Would you head that up for us? Wow! What a fantastic opportunity. And then particularly when you realise that in 2014... we'd received a word from God to say, you will be family to Ridgely, the community in Ridgely. And there was quite a lot of other stuff as well. This is the community that God has put us in. He's pretty good at this planning stuff, isn't he? He's pretty good at this planning stuff. Next slide. Richard was sharing last week. Verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. To his plan. That's why the county council ring us up and say, oh, by the way, can we give you some land? We're actually thinking about how can we go and ask for this land? And God said, I've got it sorted, don't worry about that. That's incredible. We are united in Christ. I was thinking about that, and I have this thing. And it might not have hit you at all, but there's so many people that support, probably less than there used to be, Manchester United. Now, it's always puzzled me, because like they've never been to Manchester. They actually know nobody from Manchester. They have no association with Manchester, yet they are Manchester United supporters. Now, I've never quite got that, but the reality is, they are passionate. Why? Because actually, they're united to this team. They're like in this football family. And we're united with Jesus. That seems like a cool team to be a part of, doesn't it? And we're united through his life and his death, because he made the difference. We are family. We're not blood family, but God adopted us. Go back to that verse, verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing himself through Jesus Christ. God decided in advance. God knew what you and me were going to be like. That's the difference. We haven't done anything particularly surprising. God's been there, done it, seen it. He's got all the t-shirts. That must be a big wardrobe, mustn't it, when you think about it. He's got all the t-shirts. Next slide. Thanks, Katie. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. He chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. We have an inheritance, a gift from a family that we have done nothing for. That's what inheritance is. Somebody gives you something and you've done nothing to earn it, except being in the family. And we have this inheritance because we are in God's family. God's adopted us as children into his family. We get an inheritance. That's pretty amazing. Incredible. Next slide. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because when we're born again, we just recognize what Jesus has done for us. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live and have with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance. That's quite good value, isn't it? Priceless. Priceless. Have you got anything at home that's priceless? No, I haven't. Good answer. Philippa says, Eric. And that's right, isn't it? That's it. It's in human terms. Those relationships are priceless. And what God's saying is, my relationship with you is priceless. The Romans got it right, because when they actually adopted people, they did it in such a way that it actually cleared the old and you are now in a new family, and you had full rights in that new family. Nobody could actually come to you with anything from the old family. If there were debts or anything, that was meaningless, because you are now in the new family. You have the family's identity. You have the family's inheritance. You are a person in that new family. That's what the Romans saw as adoption. And that is the way we need to think about it. We are God's family because we're adopted. Everything has changed. Next slide, please, Katie. And why has it changed? Because this is the way God works. I am, you are, adopted. And now I have a full identity of God. You and I have the full inheritance of God. Full identity, full inheritance of God. That's for each one of us. Next slide, please, Katie. Can you read that? Yeah. If you don't believe in miracles, perhaps you've forgotten you are one. How cool is that? You're reminded, aren't they, when they're a baby, you just go, my goodness, how little their little fingers are. It's hard to believe. We were all one of those in the past. A child was talking to a grandparent, and she was discussing with him about different things. And she said to her grandpa, how old are you, grandpa? And he says, oh, I'm 65. So the child was stunned and sort of, woof, 65. So she thought about this, and then she said to him, did you start at one? Yes, we did. And that's what we used to be like. We are God's little treasure. And I can hear you say, some of us aren't little anymore. Well, that's true. But we're still His treasure. We are still God's child. We are His inheritance. We have His inheritance. I was thinking about inheritance in terms of money. And sometimes you think, oh, perhaps I've got my money in the wrong bank. Remember all the banks crashing and stuff, and you've got to be careful where you put it and all that stuff. And I was thinking about our inheritance is in the bank of God, who is the creator of all things. That seems like a good place to have it. What an inheritance. You can't beat that, can you? Next slide, please, Katie. Verse 14. The Spirit is God's guarantee. Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance. He promised, the inheritance He promised, that He has purchased us to be His own people. We have been bought by Holy Spirit. We are His people so that we can be His culture because we are His children. Next slide, please, Katie. Verse 18. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Doesn't God use descriptive words? You might actually, I've used all of these from the New Living Translation, okay, if you're struggling with that. But have a look at it. He uses descriptive words. We're flooded with light. So that's not a little torch, that's an arc lamp. That's pretty big. So that you can understand the confident hope. Why has he done it? So that we can see the confident hope he has given us to those he called. He's called us and he wants us to know. So we're on stage and it isn't a little circle of light. We're just flooded with light. So that we can be his holy people who are rich and glorious inheritance. We are his rich and glorious inheritance. Why? Because we are children of God. He loves us. He thinks we're pretty cool. Now that's hard to imagine sometimes because it's not the picture we have, but it's the picture he has. Because you are a child of God. Because I am a child of God. We therefore have his rich and glorious inheritance. We are rich in God, in God's love and his hope. It suddenly struck me, whatever level you think you have or you don't have, it's way beyond those that have never met Jesus. It's way beyond if we didn't walk with Jesus. Whatever we have or whatever who we are totally different because we have that truth of Jesus. Next slide, please, Peter. When we walk with Jesus, he changes everything. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. God's guarantee. Just said it. We have Holy Spirit living in us and Jesus walking with us. Sometimes we need this picture to remember the truth. That's incredible. My goodness, God, what have you done? Then it struck me, what would be my life like? What would your life be without that? If we didn't have Jesus walking by our sides. You think about we're going through stuff now. What on the earth would that stuff be like if we weren't walking with Jesus? We've got Holy Spirit in us to make the difference that we can continually come to. Why? Because we are children of God. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. My purpose, my inheritance is in God. Your purpose, your inheritance is in God. Your purpose, your inheritance is in God because you are a child of God. Next slide, please, Katie. This is a verse I've shared a few times recently. And I have to say, this is a cracking couple of verses. Just work on it. Keep working on it. And again, I'm using the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Why does he say that? Because we're really good at it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Getting better, not there. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Why? Because we are a child of God. We are his treasure. We are his inheritance. That's why you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. So if we learn to start doing this, to pray about everything, we will be able to experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. That's a good challenge, isn't it? How much do we understand to expect even more than we've had so far? His peace will guard our hearts and our minds. Worrying bits these are, aren't our minds? Dead worrying. They keep telling us all sorts of rubbish. But God's peace will help to protect our hearts and our minds as we live in Jesus Christ. Next slide, Katie. Ephesians 1:19. I also pray with you, you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Jesus. The incredible greatness of God's power. As we walk into situations, we take Jesus with us. And as we take Jesus into a different situation, the atmosphere changes. Why? Because we are there in Jesus' name. We are there in Jesus' name. Things are different because we take Jesus with us. When we pray, things change. Why? Because Jesus is on the case. Why? Because we are children of God. And He thinks we're pretty good. Next slide, please, Katie. Three steps to heaven. It's amazing how many pictures on the internet have got three steps on. I had to actually specifically ask for three steps. I realise I'm extending the whole thing of the steps here, but it makes the point. And remember, those steps go into God's throne room, into His living room. I bet you don't let people come into your living room unless you've invited them, except for family. Except for family. And God's saying, you can come into my living room because you are family. You are God's family. You can come and have a chat with me any time. Do we think we're clever nowadays when we have open door policy? We can open the door and go and have a chat. God's been doing it forever. The trick is, He never had a door. Oh, sorry. We have His inheritance because He adopted us. And as many times as we go up those steps to spend time with Father God comes down the steps. Why? Because He wants to change us. He wants to change the world that we live in. He wants to bring God's kingdom culture. He wants to encourage us. He wants to bless those people around us. He wants to change the community we live in. He wants to empower us to bring God's kingdom, His inheritance, to those around us. To bring them into the family. And don't worry, there will be enough chairs. You know, you have the emergency chair in the back room. We have ours in the loft. And we get them down. Emergency chairs in case we need them. Well, there won't be any emergency chairs. For some reason, God's living room just gets bigger. When our daughters were little, they used to have friends coming round so much, they actually spent huge amounts of time with us. And at later times, we've been invited to things because they have seen, and the phrase they use is, well, you're like our adopted parents. wow. But God's adoption is beyond that imagination. Because He sticks with it all the time, everywhere. Because God loves us. Next slide. Our lives are His stage. Our lives are God's stage. Next slide. This is the last part in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And I read this on the Sunday after that we voted to come out of Europe. And it's key. And it's key then and it's key now. Why? Let's read it. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Just think about the human fallout we've had since that day. No fallout in heaven. No fallout with God. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. That's pretty cool, because He died to make the difference. And has made Him head over all things. Why? For the benefit of the church. We're church. We're His family. And the church is His body. He has made it full and complete by Christ, who fulfills all things everywhere with Himself. We need to remember that God is the same now and forever. God's bride in Christ. And if you're going to be a bride, which I suspect I'm never going to be, but you get the idea, that even I, when I went to a wedding, I looked smart. I won't even mention it. No. Not looking smart, it is. That's a story Richard will tell you. We are beautiful because we are God's. And He wants to make us as church even more beautiful than we can ever imagine. Why? Because we are a child of God. We are His family. I think, Andy, you're going to do whatever you're going to do now with Richard. And I'm going to leave it there. Is that okay?
Just as a response to some things that Dave was talking to us about. That confidence again, that inheritance, the fact that we're part of God's family. Just wanting to link that with our idea of God's stories and what we can get a lot of encouragement, can't we, from the stories that we've heard over the weeks and today as well. On my walk here. I got a Bible app on my phone. I was having a look through there. Psalm 30 has some very famous words in it for us about, that's the one that's talking about, joy coming in the morning. It also says, verse 11, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks to you forever." So that's a power that God has. He has the power to exchange things for us. So we can bring to Him anything that we want. We can bring our weaknesses to Him. We can bring our fear. We can bring our guilt. We can bring our physical problems, health, etc. We can bring to Him our worries, and He will exchange those for something much, much better. And he'll flip it right round. Richard spoke to me and he said that he felt that there were people here that wanted to share God's stories, but they're still waiting for that breakthrough. They're still waiting for God to really make that change, that exchange, if you like, say, taking what they're praying for and exchanging it for something better. So we just wanted to encourage you that a little bit before my time, you remember Swap Shop? Swap Shop is open this morning. You know, God is there. He's ready. He's got his good gifts that he wants to give us if we're willing to approach him with our brokenness and the things that we have on our heart that we want to give him. So if it's okay with you, what I'd like us to do is to get into little groups again, as we've done previously, and just share. Is there something that you are looking for breakthrough for this morning? So you can do that in little groups. You can come to the front to get prayer. And if you want to, the tea and coffee facilities will be open in a couple of minutes as well. Richard, do you want to say anything further on that?
And I'm conscious of time, but you know, we had Louise's God story last week. Rachel, what was the size of your tumour? Over 12 centimetres. And what is it now? Yeah. Did you hear that? This is an observation and a challenge, church. We have got to learn to celebrate those. I think we missed that this morning, if I'm honest. We should have all been running around this building. But the reason we celebrate a God story is, A, it glorifies him. That's why we run. But secondly, it's the same God that can work in your life. And I felt what God was saying was that he said to me, there are God stories still to be told. So you might be waiting for an answer. Well, it's the same God. So Andy said, let's get into groups. If that's you, you don't have to even explain what your circumstance is that you need to see the God story in, because God already knows. But what the family will do is pray for you.
So maybe that's you. Maybe you want to just put your hand up, and we can sort of gather around you.